from Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Here's Dr. Van Lees.
Everyone who is truly justified is kept by the power of God, by His sovereign purposes, by the immutability of His decree of election, and His sovereign will, and will ultimately be glorified. Our salvation is secure because of God's eternal purpose in election. All who are foreknown, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Everyone who is foreknown and predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son will ultimately be glorified.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees brings the second part of the message, The Perseverance of the Saints, as we continue our series in the book of Romans. If you're like most people, you've experienced the frustration of losing something valuable, like a wallet, a set of keys, a purse, or a pair of eyeglasses. But we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord will never lose a single one of what is most valuable to Him, His beloved and redeemed children. Jesus said, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Well, we can rejoice in the wondrous truth of the biblical doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that God will never lose you or let you go, if you trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible text for today's message is Romans 8:30. Here again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace. We've entitled The Perseverance of the Saints, Part 2.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And speaking of those He foreknew and predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in verse 30, in whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. God promises in His Word to keep and protect His people, to cause them to persevere until the end. In John chapter 6, in verses 37 through 40, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. We see in this passage again a reference to the idea of election. Here is a people given to the Son by the Father. But notice in this passage that again it is God's immutable will that none of the people given to the Son will perish, will be lost. So this is the will of Him who sent me. Verse 39, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. And in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Here's the idea that again, that it is God's immutable will that none of the people given to the Son, the elect of God, would be lost. It is God's will that everyone who believes will have eternal life, and eternal life is not eternal if it can be lost. We also see in our text in John 6, and it's implied in the text in Romans 8, that having present eternal life guarantees a future consummation of our salvation in the resurrection. Notice Jesus said in verses 39 and 40, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. In verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Notice how the idea, the sureness of the future resurrection in terms of being raised up in glory is connected with having eternal life now. Jesus said a similar thing in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again in Romans 8:30, all who are foreknown, predestined, called, justified, are ultimately glorified. We also see that our salvation is secure because God will complete what He began in our salvation. Again, all who are justified are glorified. We are called, we are justified, we'll be glorified. And very similar in Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Notice that it is God who began a good work in us, and he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The phrase he who began in Greek is an aorist middle participle. The aorist is a punctiliar past tense emphasizing that it happened in a moment. This indicates strongly that it is God himself who began your salvation, and he will finish what he started. Here again is the doctrine that if you are truly saved, you will not be lost. Now, the classic label for this is the perseverance of the saints, that God will keep us, he will protect us, he will cause us to persevere. It could also be called the preservation of the saints by God. The first thing we notice that our salvation is secure because it is God who began it. And as we have noted, our salvation began in eternity. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then it was applied to us at a point in our life. He called us and justified us. And then we look forward to our glorification. And again, if God has elected you to salvation, it is impossible that you would be lost. His decree is immutable. And God is all-powerful, and no one can thwart the sovereign will of God, as we have noted. God gave His elect to His Son, and the Son completely accomplished salvation for them. We saw in John 6, 37-40, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Again in John 17:2, you have given me authority over all mankind, that to all you have given me, I will give them eternal life. Christ's work was complete and perfect. He actually accomplished salvation for His people. Every time the work of Christ is described in the New Testament, it is always in terms of a perfect, accomplished work. It's never given in terms of potentiality. He was actually a propitiation, a sacrifice, a reconciliation, a redemption for His people. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, in verses 9 and 10, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. They are purchased for God. They belong to Him. In the book of Acts, in Acts 20:28, again, an affirmation that we are purchased with the blood of Christ and belong to Him. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. If you are in Christ now, for God to punish your sins will be an injustice. Christ has already paid for those sins, and therefore condemnation is an utter impossibility for you. This gives us confidence in our salvation. If you're in Christ, you cannot be lost. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, what? Did Christ at one tremendous draught of love drink my damnation dry? And shall I be damned after that? God forbid. What? Shall God be unrighteous to forget the Redeemer's work for us and let the Savior's blood be shed in vain? Not hell itself has ever indulged the thought which is only been worthy of men who are traitors to God's truth. And finally, we see that by God's divine initiative, God applied Christ's salvation to our lives. God began that work within us. We see in Romans 8, 30, that whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified. And as we noted last week, this is an effectual calling because everyone who is called in the sense of its term here is justified. It is that internal work of the Holy Spirit that calls us. And we have observed that here is the power of God that opens the heart and brings us to Christ. Last week we looked at those three passages in the book of Acts that affirm this so strongly. I want to review those again. Acts 13:48, when Paul said, I'm going to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Here was God's appointment to eternal life, issuing in their belief. In Acts 16:14, a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, in other words, a Jewish proselyte, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. It was the Lord who opened her heart to respond, and if you're in Christ now, it was the Lord who opened your heart to respond, to believe. In Acts 18:27, speaking of the Apollos, and he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace. It's through the grace of God that they had believed. And we had noted in Ephesians 2 how we are dead in sin and walk according to that deadness and sin. And then in Ephesians 2:4, but God, because of His great mercy which He had for us, great love which He had for us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, but by grace you have been saved. If you are in Christ now, it is because God has sovereignly called you and brought you to salvation. And what He has begun, Scripture promises He will finish. Third, our salvation is secure because God will not allow us to fall away. In John chapter 10, and verses 26 through 30, Jesus tells the Pharisees, the religious leaders, that you do not believe. In verse 26, you do not believe because you're not my sheep. And then in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He mentions no one will snatch them out of my hand, no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand. And again, here's the Father is greater than all. Here's the sovereign power of God that keeps us. No one can snatch you out of the hand of Christ or God the Father. That includes other people, any type of satanic attack, and includes ourselves. God affects our hearts so that we will never depart from the faith. In fact, in Jeremiah 32:40, in speaking of the covenant of grace, the new covenant reality that's being promised, in verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so they will not turn away from me. Here is a positive sense of the fear of God, that I will so affect their hearts that they will not turn away. You may be going through struggles in your Christian life. We go through ups and downs in our lives in general and in our Christian lives, and that we can go through those dark times of the soul, so to speak, where God could seem very far away. But whether we are at one of those better times or in a time of struggle, we had the sure promise of God that we will never be lost or never be separated from the love of God in Christ. And in fact, in Romans chapter 8, right after Paul has spoken about these things, passage read earlier in verse 35 and following, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Mentions as it's written, we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's that promise, that assurance based on? All he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Who will lay a charge at God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, the one who died, yes, rather is risen again, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing can. Paul lists 17 things which cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. He could list everything you could possibly conceive of and fill a book as big as the Bible with them and say nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ because of the immutable, eternal counsel of God and His plan for you. There is an assurance we have in our Christian lives because of the sovereign will of God being carried out. In Ephesians chapter 1, after speaking of God's eternal counsels and election, His eternal purpose, but which we have an inheritance, in verses 13 and 14, and speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. The term used there for sealed is the term sthragos, which refers to the idea of an emblem or insignia that would be on a ring or a stamp. And remember, wax would be melted on it to seal a document or a scroll and the impression made on it to show that it belongs to the person. And it says the Holy Spirit is that seal placed upon us that we belong to God. And He is the guarantee, the pledge of our inheritance, the pledge of our redemption, of God's own possession. If you are in Christ, you belong to God. You are His possession. Again, in Philippians 1:6, what He began, He will complete. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Earlier we sang, we read and we sang the passage out of Jude, the very end of the little short one chapter book. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, He will keep you. To keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. There's another statement. Over and over we see this discourse in Scripture of the immutable counsel of God, the eternal plan of God for His elect being carried out and not being thwarted. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a similar statement in verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, notice the divine initiative that is God who has caused us to be born again. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are protected by the power of God for that inheritance which is sure and promised to all of God's people. Now, an objection that is often made to this, and it usually comes from Arminian theology, which teaches that man can lose his salvation. Says, oh, I know someone who did all kinds of Christian work or service. They witnessed to people, they presented the gospel, they were in church, so on. And then they rejected Christ and they lost their salvation. Perhaps you've heard that and heard similar statements. Well, 1 John 2:19 is very helpful and instructive in regards to this. John is describing Gnostic heretics who have gone out from the church, and he calls them antichrists who have gone out into the world. And in 1 John 2:19, he said, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not of us." And he's not just talking about people leaving a particular church. He's talking about people leaving the faith and becoming heretics. He said, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. They weren't really a part of the true saved community of faith." He said, "They'd been of us, they would have remained with us." Again, an affirmation. If they were truly saved, they would have remained in that state of salvation. But they went out demonstrating what they truly were, unregenerate people. In fact, it was when they left that what they really were was made evident. They were never saved to begin with. They might have made some type of profession. They might have said something about faith in Christ, but they were not true believers. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 7:21-23, "In that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons and prophesy in your name and work many wonders in your name?'" We're doing religious activity. And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." In other words, you were lawless people. Whatever claim you make, you had no concern for the things of God. You perhaps were doing all types of religious things, but you didn't know me. I never knew you in a saving sense. Gordon Cork told the story of, said one evening, he said, "I was conducting a midweek prayer meeting worship service, and a white-haired gentleman asked us to sing one of his favorite hymns, 'How Firm a Foundation,' our opening hymn today. The hymn has 6 stanzas, and the meeting was very informal, and he said, 'I wondered aloud which of the 6 we would omit.' And, well, not the first, of course, for it speaks of the Word of God as a foundation of our faith, and not the second, because we need the aid and strength of God's omnipotent hand. Third, the fourth, and..." The old gentleman interrupted my wondering by insisting that this was a good hymn and we should sing it all. And we did. And as we reached the 5th stanza, everyone else in the room saw in it the picture of the grand old man who had requested the hymn. "In down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs their temple shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born." He sang it with vigor. And he sang the 6th stanza too. "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned through repose, I will not desert to his foes." Clark said, "Now it was a bit strange that this gentleman should have requested this hymn and had sung it with such praise and devotion, because all through his life and all through his Christian experience, he had vehemently argued that you could lose your salvation." And he was intensely committed to Arminian theology, and he had mentioned he did not like Reformed theology or anything like that, and he'd been telling his friends that for years and years. But could it be, without realizing it, that he had come to believe and that his early Arminian views had changed with the color of his hair? And it is strange, he said, that this lovely Arminian saint could become at least somewhat of a Calvinist without knowing it. It is far more strange that anyone who bases his faith on the firm foundation of God's Word could ever be an Arminian. The scripture verses are too numerous to mention. Well, we've mentioned a few of them this morning, and we could preach 4, 5, or 6 sermons and not touch on all of them that address this issue. But again, wherever you are in your Christian life now, whatever is going on in your life now, you have the assurance of God's immutable promises and protection and care, and He will keep you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the promises You make to us, those promises which are sure and true. They're based on Your truthfulness, based on Your immutability, on Your omnipotence, and the fact that nothing will thwart Your eternal counsel. We thank you for those promises and to us and the surety of our salvation. And we also pray for any who do not know you, that you would bring them to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We can rejoice in the wondrous truth of the biblical doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that God will never lose you or let you go if you truly trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message, The Perseverance of the Saints. You can write to us at God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is a radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10. With a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups, as well as men's and women's Bible studies, meet once a month and are excellent opportunities to build friendship and receive Christian support. At various times during the year, the church also offers theological seminars on such topics as God's sovereignty and salvation, heaven and hell, and the Trinity. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints, and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about the church and the ministry opportunities available, give us a call at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request a message, The Perseverance of the Saints. Our mailing address once again, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You can also hear today's message over the internet anytime by logging on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Well, thank you for joining us today, and we invite you back next time when we'll once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.